Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 758, The Nun Too Much.
The Nun...
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I had fallen asleep just from you mentioning the title of this movie.
I feel like last time I was here we did this. This is the same reaction.
I tell you what, the Dracula movie feels like Mission Impossible compared to this one, guys.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast. You can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. It's super helpful. It's good for our egos, which could use it.
Big time.
And
right now, you ain't lying.
And what else? Oh, and it's helpful for the people that come along after you. So you can also find us on YouTube, where you can watch us now in color.
Technicolor.
Yeah. Yes.
3D. Yeah. Put on the blue and red glasses. You're good to go.
And we are on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. We've titled the group The League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will be kind enough to share an episode so more people will listen.
Marketing geniuses.
Yes. People who are kind enough to share an episode last week include Tom Dowdy, Jason McLean, Travis Tewitt, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Julian Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Chris Falls, Phil Timon, Gabriel Lugo, Ralph Tribble, Dissect That Film, Greg Sumners, Taylor Ward, Heather Sachs, Christopher Rex, Nostalgia Cast, Mike, and Oscar, Spoiler Piece Theater, Ronnie Castle, In Session Film, Colby Mack, Geek to Me Radio, Feel and Film, Binge Movies, and Ryan Terry. So thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. And finally, don't forget, we do have a Patreon where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you extra.
There's more. What do we have left? Captain America and the Avengers?
Let's see. Next one up is Captain Iron America. Man 2 is
coming
out.
Oh, we did that one, though.
It's in the can.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was like, oh, no.
No, so yeah, whatever the rest of those phase after Iron Man 2.
Captain America and the Avengers, and then we're done. Okay. That only took us 7
Thor.
Months.
We haven't done Thor yet. Did we?
I think we did.
No, I think we kept saying we were going to and just never did it.
Well, things have come up.
Yeah, so Thor is a coming.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, hey, now that's a different movie altogether.
Ooh, goodness.
Yeah. Well, donate those bucks.
Riding around your world.
We can get Joe a blonde wig.
I thought you said donate those bucks, and I was like, nope, that makes sense for that movie.
Yeah. So anyway, there's all that. Let's stick it in, shall we?
So, you know, every studio has tried the Marvel model, right?
Right.
They've all tried it.
And the non-cinematic universe.
Yeah. Well, this is The Conjuring.
Right.
And I will say,
this is the one that's probably gotten closest to success. What
you're exactly right.
They're making money, even though, except for the first two Conjuring movies, they've all been trash.
Have they? No,
the I thought the first Nun was decent, and I hadn't seen the other ones.
We did Annabelle.
We've done the Annabelle
movies. The Annabelle Creation one is really good.
I wasn't here.
I wouldn't go that far. It was better than the first one.
I wasn't here at least for one or two of those Annabelle movies.
Yeah.
The third one's not very good.
But we watched The Nun, and I was like, okay, this was decent. Like, I was fine with it. I'm like, okay, they got something with this spinoff. It's decent. This movie is so boring.
I thought it was fun. Here's the thing.
They're trying to turn them into, like, detectives. Okay. Nun detectives.
Well,
this is like Nundercover.
But we see that all the time, right? Like,
Nun's fun.
Nun fun, yeah.
Yeah.
I did get a trailer for Nuns on the Run, which I was like, oh, man.
I didn't see it there. I
need to go back and rewatch that movie with Robbie Coltrane.
I think it just feels a little preposterous. Okay.
But the priest in The Exorcist.
This movie wanted to be The Exorcist so bad.
This movie wanted to be The Exorcist 3 so bad.
The look of it.
Yes.
It just, they kept doing the grainy, like, poorly lit cobblestone
right.
streets.
Which,
like,
I gotta tell you,
rained.
I thought this movie looked great. I thought this movie had some of, like, that scene where Tessa Farmiga's on the train, and I was like, okay, this feels like...
I like the magazine scene.
I think that's very good.
I like the idea of the magazine, but every magazine wouldn't have a large portrait of a person on the right page.
It's possessed.
I was like,
okay, but the pages don't change because they're possessed.
How long are these magazines?
There was one point where I was like, I can accept that this is a demon flipping these pages.
Just like a Sears catalog circa 1978.
The magazine thing is the coolest thing in the entire movie, the coolest concept, but every right page had a portrait of someone. You wouldn't have that many. And I mean, okay, maybe they skipped a couple.
I want you to go back to 1956 and find all the magazines.
I have a lot of old magazines, and not every right portrait. And guess what? All the magazines on the right, every page on the left had a portrait of someone. I mean, it was stupid the way that it all lined up too perfectly. I'm like, you could have made a better collage with that same concept, but not made it so, like, picture.
When you look at the creators of these movies, right? We start with James Wan and Lee Whannell. I think Gary Doberman comes in and does some of the Mike Flanagan did the Ouija sequel that was really good.
I don't think I saw it. I don't think I've seen either of those movies.
The first one's not great, but then they come back with
covered one because I think Dan was on the episode.
They come back with it because
I remember doing Oculus.
Yeah, which is also Mike Flanagan.
Okay, that was solid. Yeah.
We've done 756 of these, guys. It's really hard sometimes to remember. Yeah.
Like the first Nun, which I went back and rewatched because I was like, I don't remember.
Was that guy in the first movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the guy.
Frenchie. The guy that she's like, you saved me, and there's flashbacks.
Yeah, Frenchie.
Frenchie's a main character.
Yeah, okay. He's a main character in the first one.
And she's not wrong. Like, she at the end of that movie, Tessa Farmiga, who it's like, can we just say?
What?
That she's
the biggest wasted opportunity.
Not only does she look just like her sister,
she looks just like her, and the timeline
lines up
perfectly for this to be an origin story. Like, why are we not doing that?
Or why are we casting her? Like, I think Tessa Farmiga is great. I think she's great in American Horror Story. I think she was really good in there was like a meta slasher flick where her mom was like a final girl and she goes into the movie to
Final Girls.
Yeah, you're right.
Dang.
With Malin Ackerman. But I think that she is.
This should be the
Mary Warren,
especially
because
you know that the Mary Warren character was a nun was gonna be a nun, and like, so it's like this would fit perfectly to butt up against The Conjuring.
What a missed opportunity.
What are we doing here?
Why?
Which is where I thought we were going in the first one.
Same. I really thought that last scene was going to be like,
I'm out of here now.
I'm changing my name to Mary, right?
Right.
And they just, and I am so flummoxed by the fact that they have this wonderful opportunity where, she looks
Just like her.
Yep.
And she's a good actress.
Yep.
So, like,
she's significantly better in this than I think she was in the first one.
I thought she was good in the first one.
I thought she was fine in the first one, but she felt more.
Yeah.
not invested, but like into the character.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this character is different.
This movie felt very long. How long was this movie? Almost
an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah.
It
almost,
I agree with you.
Almost 2 hour movie.
Because almost every scene is this. Oh, scary music, tension build,
jump scare.
Here's the jump scare of the nun, and then nothing happens.
Okay, so here's
two people die in this movie.
Yes, this is the problem.
Both of them could have been old age.
I gotta tell you though, that first one, I was like, oh, they just killed a kid. Like, that doesn't happen often.
The first one was the priest burning.
You're right. They killed that girl that went to go see Frenchie when she's dropping off like the delivery.
Did they take her out?
Oh, yeah.
Well, but she wasn't like kid.
You don't see that. I will say, you don't see that very often. So when they do.
We just saw it 2 weeks ago.
That's true. And, and Halloween Ends as well, when they smash that kid in the floor.
I've tried to block that movie out.
Not me. I will say, when they kill a kid, that gives you a level of. Anything's
but
possible.
They kill the two people in the beginning of the movie, and they kill one person at the end of the movie.
No. They
and
kill...
there's an hour and a half of them going like this. Run, run, run. Scary. Okay. Run, 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 run. You're knocked out. Run, 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 run. Scary. Run. It's like, okay, the nun breaks necks, stabs people, kills people. Here's our main characters. Boo. Ah. But you're knocked out. Okay. I'm going to surround you in a prison of spikes.
Yeah.
Why is the nun not just killing people?
I don't know.
She kills people when she wants in the beginning, but when your main characters come.
At least hit their knuckles with a ruler.
Yeah.
It's 1956.
I've been there, and that was in the 80s.
But the plot armor.
I think that there is. Okay, so the premise of this movie is we see at the end of the first one that Tessa Farmiga and also this priest who gets a worse kill off screen than Mutt from Indiana Jones, where he's just like, he had cholera, he's dead.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
So they think they vanquished Valak, who is this demon that we see in The Conjuring 1 and 2, I think.
I still don't think I've ever seen those movies.
That's
honestly
insane to
I
me.
Well, these aren't helping its case.
No, the first two are great.
Yes.
Are totally worth your time. They are so good.
Yeah.
So good.
And you know I don't like
these. I've heard they're really good.
They are so good. Of all the movies in this franchise, I actually own on Vudu Conjuring 1 and 2. The rest of them I don't care about.
It's tough because they're picking these cases from the Warrens who...
are hucksters.
They're also pieces of
shit.
Yeah.
Like Ed Warren is the worst of the worst.
It's too bad they're tied to these people because
Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are so damn good.
Right.
And likable.
Which is another reason to make this an origin story about her that has no basis in reality.
Sure.
Just like
these are just characters.
They're just characters now.
Yeah.
Like, right?
They're basically like P.T. Barnum and Greatest Showman. I mean, you don't go to that movie and they're not going to be like, and then P.T. Barnum
did
all this stuff. They're like, no, this is like a caricature with the same name. It's
What I heard when you said that?
What's that?
Wah, 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 wah. Because I was like, The Greatest Showman, I didn't see that.
But this movie, there is so little going on.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. So I'm in the theater. I had to go to AMC because Alamo was a different time or whatever. Okay. Someone snoring on my left. Someone snoring on my right. I went, mind you, 11:45 show
That's
in the
tough.
AM. Snoring on my left, snoring on my right. I dozed off two or three times. I mean, this is the biggest snooze fest of a movie.
It's tough because I don't think it's a snooze fest. But I'm also invested in this series for the most part. It's almost like I refer to it as like Supernatural, right? Like those first four or five seasons of Supernatural are really good. They've got a story. They've got, it's everybody's engaged. By the time you get to season, 15, you're like, I just want to see how this ends.
It's just
like,
something I watch.
I just want to see how I'm invested in these characters. I just want to see how this ends.
I wish I cared. I could not wait till this ended. I was sitting there the entire time, like, please just end this movie. Like, this was torture to sit through.
That's crazy.
I couldn't find any entertainment in it. You know,
I thought the jump scares were well done. I think the scene. Really? I do. I think that scene.
There were a couple good jump scares, but it was like only jump scares. It was a jump scare delivery.
Was it the nun with sharp teeth?
Yes.
Was that the okay?
But that's what she looks like.
Saw that about 8 times. Yeah. But after the first couple, I was like, I get it. Nun gonna pop up, and she's gonna show you her sharp teeth.
Right. Right.
Cool.
No. I think the scene with the headmistress in the chapel with her demon son.
You know how you know she's the headmistress, right?
No.
He has dirty knees.
Oh, look at you.
You walked right into that.
I did, yeah.
I laughed when the kid flung his lantern.
Hit her with the urn.
I mean, I don't know.
But I do think, like, when she's flashing that light, you know what they're trying to do.
Right.
But, like, they play with the shadows really well. I think that scene with Sophie on the steps when she comes face to face with the nun and like the lights come on and it's just like a like
on
a
the wall.
Like a grease painting.
It's a cool look.
I think it's a cool, but they do.
I liked when they had the girl in the place where Batman fought Joker. I like that.
You like that one in the bell tower?
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of ends the same way.
And then the nun said you wouldn't hit a nun with glasses.
Would you? And then when the nun dies, she's got like that little laughing thing.
Ha ha ha. Can we just talk about Batman, please?
Happily, yeah. So this nun character shows up in Conjuring 1 and 2, and then they spin her off. We get the origin.
Can I tell you guys? I thought that every scene that went to Frenchie and the teacher and the daughter was a flashback. I did not know these were in the same timeline.
What?
When they got together, I said, what the? I could not follow this. I thought they were flashing back between how the nun came to be, because they kept talking about the history of the nun. I thought we were watching the nun first be a spooky
nun.
Oh,
you thought the mom
and we were
was
going
be the
to
nun?
Our nun, Tessa Farmiga.
Okay.
And then no, when they so got together, I'm like,
in the first,
I thought that was a twist.
In the first movie, she ends up having to go with this priest to this cathedral.
You know, when and early in the movie where all the nuns are sitting around like peeling potatoes or whatever, and the nuns telling the story. That's the recap of the first movie.
Yes.
Okay, because I thought that was the and then we cut to Frenchie and all that stuff. I thought they were showing us.
Yeah,
like that was just how I took that was. So, here's the flat. Here I'm telling you, and then it's olden days.
Well, it's also like it's much. It visually looks different, right?
Yeah,
like
that first one
like, felt like two different.
Because it's very bright when you get to the Frenchie scene.
So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. It's just this movie felt very weird.
So in the first one, the priest and the nun go to this convent. I think it's what it was. And we find out that there was someone that tried to unearth this demon.
The bombing in World War II had released this demon that had been locked up.
Because by these nuns who just pray.
And then the nuns would, to keep her at bay, were praying on 24-hour shifts.
Correct.
Nonstop to keep her trapped.
Trapped. And then the nun starts to break free. We find out that the only thing that will stop the nun, Valak, is the demon's name. Is the blood of Christ.
Is a vial of the blood of
and
Christ.
And it's, I gotta tell you, it's a fun scene in the first movie where Tessa Farmiga like cracks open the vial, drinks the blood, and as Valak has like Tessa Farmiga dead to rights, she spits the blood into her face. And I was like, that was pretty dope. Like, that was cool.
And normally you're not a fan of spitting.
No, not at all.
More of a swallowing kind
Yeah,
of guy.
Well, you know, if you're gonna do the job, do it right.
Right.
Yeah.
And have some respect for the blood of Christ.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Or the, never mind.
let's see how more offensive we can make this.
But in that process, Frenchie is attacked by Valak, and Valak possesses Frenchie. The end of The Nun 1 is we get that recap that goes back to the first Conjuring, which is the first time we see Ed and Lorraine Warren, and they are performing an exorcism on Frenchie. And I think that first one, that ending, I was like, that's crazy that they figured that out and went back and reworked that into like, that's, you know, the ending scene. Mm. Well, not really sure how that ending scene works now.
Right.
Right.
Because like,
they screwed themselves.
You see them killing.
Yeah.
The
demon,
the demon. And presumably Frenchie has been exorcised.
Correct. Unless we're saying that he hasn't, but then what? Like, why would you, This poor guy. Has
but if
been
you kill the demon, then what is in him?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or then what's the thing? Because like in The Conjuring 2, I'm pretty sure that like, Mary Warren has like visions of Valak killing Ed, but then it's like, if it's gone, what? Why do I care?
Well, right. it's not gone.
But if it's not
a horror franchise,
but,
it's,
no,
never
but,
gone.
But
it's never
the,
gone.
The catalyst of Valak attaching itself to the Warrens is the exorcism of Frenchie.
Oh, so but if they change
but if Frenchie's not able to be exorcised,
yeah.
What? Why?
Who knows?
Like, because that I think the ending of that first one is perfect. Because you're like, okay, full circle. We're right back to where we were.
So there's more nun and priest killings, and they enlist Tessa Farmiga.
Yeah, basically there's a line that's going like from Romania across, and they're like, this is where it starts, and they're, you know, I
thought it was Dracula coming over on a boat.
Oh yeah, it is funny that like Romania, all bad. All demons and vampires.
Can you imagine
come from
living
Romania?
There? And it's just this beautiful, pleasant. It's probably just the gorgeous little nice.
Romanians like, are like, what the hell, man?
Right? What do we do
like,
to you?
Yeah,
our culture's
not vampires.
Our culture
demons.
Is not your costume.
Yeah. They're sitting there in just these lovely little quaint towns. Probably looks like something from The Hobbit.
Right.
You know?
Right. I like detective horror stories. I think those are a lot of fun because they're not very. They're rare to get one of the like.
I do too, exorcist. But what makes these nuns detectives? I like detective stories, but I just when you throw in these kids haven't been around that long. You get the girl. I guess she was in Missing. I didn't see that, but that's the girl.
Yeah. Oh, and she's on Last of Us.
Yeah.
Who is she in The Last of Us?
She's the girl that she falls in love with.
Yeah. She's Ellie's girlfriend.
Right? Oh, in that one flashback. I got you. I got you. Yes. I knew she looked familiar and I couldn't. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's good in this movie. But I just mean, so you have that. She's kind of like this rebellious nun who's not playing by the rules and stuff. And it's just they get together and then they start solving these detective mysteries.
Well,
and
I think,
just
okay.
Like,
but Father Mirren is the same character. Father Mirren is in The Exorcist. He's basically a detective who's also an exorcist. Mm. So. And
I guess it just feels like when you've been established for a while and you've been doing it, okay, I get that character. But when these nuns show up and then they start talking like they're in Seven, you know what I mean? It just, I don't know.
But Tessa Farmiga has done this. She was it. She fought
this
demon.
But the other girl is talking about clues and stuff. I'm saying the way the other nun is talking, she starts rattling off these things. But, oh, and this is like this. And I'm just like. How is she a detective? I don't know.
My favorite part
is
when
she's like Watson.
When they decide they need the eyes of St. Lucy. And it's like.
That to me, that was the jump too far.
It was like, the eyes of St. Lucy have been missing low these years. The demon has been searching for them for 3 millennia. And they can't be found. And we put this is. Oh, here they are.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, we looked through the goat eye. We looked through the goat eye and figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do agree.
You just need the staff of Ra.
That's right. That is ridiculous. Like, these movies haven't really dealt with the idea of
logic.
Logic, but also relics, right? They've depended on the rites of exorcism and things like that. There hasn't been crosses, which doesn't really count. But when you start going after the eyes of St. Lucy, who had her eyes plucked out for some reason. I don't know.
Cause she kept pulling the football away.
Was that Lucy?
Yeah,
that is Lucy. Yeah, right on.
She offered substandard psychiatric care, but for surprisingly reasonable rates.
Yeah, 25 cents, right?
That's 5 cents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with the concept of these movies. And I even thought The Nun one, I don't remember the plot points and the characters, but I remember watching and being like, oh, that was decent. Like go back and listen to that episode. I thought it was decent. But the script of this exact movie, not the concept, the script.
It would be nice if it was written by someone who understood Catholicism.
That is fair.
Like they clearly don't know anything about Catholicism. Like
that's a good point.
Because there's one scene where she's like getting attacked by the nun and she's praying at it. And
okay.
She says, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." No Catholic in 1956
absolutely not
would say Holy Spirit.
Holy Ghost.
I know that, and I've
Holy
never had
Spirit
anything.
Doesn't kick in until Vatican II.
Is that right?
In the 60s, yes.
Okay.
And so, like, nobody would have said Holy Spirit in 1956.
That's true.
The other Catholic problem this movie has is the ending of the film. Would not work.
Why is that?
So okay. The ending of, so, we'll just get right to the ending.
Yeah.
They get to the ending of the film.
I thought the ending was kind of smart, but I'd like
it's to. Smart, except it's dumb. So the idea is they need the blood of Christ to kill the demon.
And they said they were looking for this relic, this blood of Christ.
Right. Like, but she had used it up in the last one. And you know, this isn't 1985, Marty. You can't just walk into any grocery store and buy the blood of Christ. And so,
if you could just make your own blood of Christ, that would have been a pretty good thing.
So when you're receiving the Eucharist, I went to Catholic school.
The cracker?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a wafer.
It's a wafer.
Okay.
They're not Protestants.
It's wafer thin.
It's a wafer.
Okay.
When you receive, so that is the body of the Christ. Mm-hmm. The blood is the wine. The wine is the blood of Christ, right? And so
transmogrification.
And I liked that conversation where she's like,
right,
just like, I'm blessing wine or what. Like, I really liked the.
Although if she's Catholic and a nun, she should already know this.
Correct.
This is pretty 101. But so when it comes to blessing communion wafers and wine, there are two schools of thought. There is consubstantiation and transubstantiation. Now, perhaps counterintuitively in this situation, the Catholics are trans.
And then you genuflect?
Oh, correct. Yeah. And so consubstantiation means that you're blessing this stuff, and it's a metaphor,
right?
Transubstantiation
means
it's literally the body and blood of Christ. The Catholics believe if you put it under a microscope, it would have the same molecular makeup as the body and blood.
Do you think that Catholics in 2023 still believe that?
I don't think Catholics ever truly believed it. But that's where it comes in, the whole idea. Oh, it's faith.
Right. You got to have faith.
And so, so when they're fighting the nun, the demon at the end of the movie, and they have all this wine around, and she's like, oh, we'll bless the wine. And she says the same thing that the priest says at mass, which is, you know, the whole, like,
the whole,
this is my body, take and eat of it, blah, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, blah, blah, blah. That's what the priest says to consecrate it, which is the moment, it's when they ring the bells, that's the moment that it becomes the body and blood of Christ.
Right.
So here's the problem. Only a priest can do that.
Yeah, that's
only
that.
A priest can do
so
that.
So she has no...
So.
Like
in the Catholic Church, she has no power make that.
She just anyone could go around doing that.
Right. I mean, like, she does not have the capability to do that. Now, you can zoom out and say, well, this is all just BS. But if you're
following the rules,
if you're working using the paradigm of Catholicism for the rules and underpinning of your film, then and you're going to say that this is the blood of Christ when we do this thing and it becomes the blood of Christ. Well, then the rules within that church are, but only when a priest does it.
What they should have done
was figured out a way to get a priest scene.
What they should have done is
upgraded her.
That's it.
Can women be priests, or is that
not?
No.
Oh.
So, I mean,
wait.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, then I guess you
what they could have done is when she goes to see Monsignor, whatever the hell his name is,
library guy,
the priest that, or the guy with like the different getup that's eating food that's like, hey man, you gotta go to this other place. What should have happened there is he should have said, because of your experience, because of what you've done, you are
I wouldn't have worked in the Catholic Church.
He doesn't have the authority to say that. The Catholic Church is
you don't
very,
think he could
no
okay.
The Catholic Church is very hierarchy.
That's true.
Hierarchical, whatever. Yeah. There's a hierarchy.
Right.
And so, like, he doesn't have that power. Like, that's the whole point.
That would have to come from the Vatican, I
that's
guess.
The whole point of a pope, right? Is that the pope, you know, when the pope speaks, I forget how they say it in Latin, but it means from the chair. And if the pope says he's infallible. And a lot of people that don't understand the rules of Catholicism thinks that when people say the pope is infallible, it means that he's just wandering around. He's infallible in whatever he does. No, it's like when he makes a point and he makes a declaration in this certain way at a certain time, if he says it, then it's true.
And it's from the mouth, the word of God.
Right. And basically the way I've always interpreted and had explained to me is that if the pope says gay marriage is okay and the pope is wrong, when you get to heaven, God ain't going to be mad at you.
That's right.
Right. That's going to all fall to him.
It's like, hey, man, Your boy down there said it was cool.
Your guy said it was okay. We put this guy in charge.
Right.
If that guy's wrong, you're not in trouble.
Well,
for him.
Didn't put anybody in charge. They're just like, you're good.
Yeah, it's not like you get to vote.
Yeah, right.
So, like, no, he wouldn't have the ability to make a female priest.
That's fair. But if they could say, again, this is us writing their movie for him. This is from the Vatican. This is directly from the Vatican because of your. I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
just should be something in there if they're going to have it end like that. There has to be an explanation.
I thought the same thing when she was blessing the wine.
Because I thought it was such a big deal. They're like, oh, it has to be. We have to find the blood of Christ. Like that's our MacGuffin chase.
I like the solution because from get go, I was like, well, consecrate some wine. You got the blood of Christ, right? If you're Catholic,
you got a bomb. You got a bunch of dragon fire down in the bowers.
Yeah, like if this is if we're living in the world of Catholic rules in this movie, I'm like, well, there's your solution. So like, I was fine with that as a solution, but then. The way to solve it is you just make one of the people in the scene a priest.
Yeah. Or you bring back the guy from the first one.
Right, something.
Instead of he got cholera.
You got cholera, died off screen. He's dead.
He went back to his home planet.
Goodbye.
Now, maybe that's why Frenchie is still possessed and Valak is still around. But then why did it go away? Why did it look like it destroyed it? You know?
Oh, wait. In the first one?
In this one.
Oh.
When they hit it with the wine.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe that's why it's still around, right? They're going to come back and say... Well, because silly girls can't do that.
And that demon was too dumb to realize that it wasn't the blood of Christ, it disintegrated itself anyway.
That demon, instead of just killing all the people trying to destroy it, trapped them in little spiky prisons.
So So we find out that Tessa Farmiga's character is a descendant of St. Lucy. Like, that's what they're getting at. And that Valak was going across Europe, I guess, killing the last remaining descendants of this saint so that the demon could find the eyes eventually.
So what was it doing at the magazine stand when it knocked her out?
It was, so since she is, you're not wrong.
I just got to know why it didn't kill her. Like, it kills everyone else when it,
because we find out that he can't burn her. So maybe she's got like a little extra mutant power where Valak has to work extra hard to kill this nun. But I mean, like, that's what we find out, that Valak is going to burn Tessa Farmiga alive and it can't. And that's a callback to St. Lucy, where they tried to burn St. Lucy and they couldn't
do
it.
But it chokes people and breaks their neck. I mean, it doesn't.
But those aren't descendants of St. Lucy.
I know, but why didn't it break her neck?
Because
it just gives up when it's like, oh, here's the person I got to kill, but this didn't work. I'm going to go.
I'm a peace out.
I don't get it. Like, I'm sorry, look, guys. I just don't get it.
I don't think you're wrong.
I don't get what we're watching.
This is what happens when James Wan and Lee Winnell start this thing, right? And they kind of pass the reins to Gary Doberman, who is...
So how does Lucy have children? How does she have descendants if she's a saint?
Could she have a brother?
But they wouldn't be descendants.
Sure they would. They'd be descendants.
Descendant is your offspring and people from your offspring.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like, that's not how saints work.
That's a good call.
Right. And I was just like, well, maybe she's... So I looked it up. I was like, well, maybe she's an early saint that, like, got
circumvented the rule.
Well, like, sometimes you have people that, like, they didn't lead great lives, so then they came to God, and, you know.
Yeah.
But it says, like, this is from Wikipedia, which we know is never wrong. Like many of the early martyrs, Lucy had consecrated her virginity to God.
So she was a virgin.
And she, yes, and she hoped to distribute her dowry to the poor.
So if you're a descendant, it can't be from, like, her bloodline.
Well, she wouldn't have a bloodline because she didn't.
Her, like, parents, brother, like,
a descendant is someone who descends from you.
Yeah, I guess it's her actual descendant. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I guess they say it's
like my sister's kids aren't my descendants.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not from Alabama.
But I don't know, because, like, but they're a descendant of your father, and then you're a descendant of your father. Like, I just don't know.
But logic, we're all related.
They do say that these are descendants of St. Lucy. They're not like, this is the descendant of St. Lucy's
brother. The action of moving forward, right. Downward, dropping, or falling, like moving forward. Like, that's,
I don't know.
This is what I'm saying, is James Wan... I'm pretty sure that Lee Winnell was involved.
They just really, really stretched this 2-hour movie to do anything. And I know you like, I'm not trying to say.
No. I don't think you're wrong.
Enjoyment. I just, from my point of view, there was not a lot going on in this movie. And I just think that they stretched this idea to get a sequel to a successful horror spinoff. And I wish that they would have written it in an interesting way where stuff actually happened and stuff made sense, where I wasn't watching it going like, why didn't just kill her?
Because there are, especially because there are ways to make this make sense.
Certainly.
It's yeah. like, right. It's like logic adjacent.
Yeah. It's like,
well, this is
almost makes
like they
sense.
Didn't try to do another draft where someone was like, well, maybe we should explain this or that. Like,
this is what I mean when I say what Marvel did, right? We talked about it a billion times, is they moneyballed it. Mm-hmm. And they got guys or gals who were on the decline or like middling, and they plugged them into their movies. They're, you know, the guy that, let's get the fast talking guy, let's get the Shakespeare guy, let's get the World War II guy, you know, where I think the Conjuring stuff kind of did it backwards. So they got top tier guys to work on these movies to begin with. And now they've started to like filter it down to like a guy that maybe has the sound of James Wan a little bit.
Yeah, and you know? Just keeps getting worse.
Who
yeah.
is Michael Chaves? Do we know what he...
He directed the La Llorona.
Curse of La Llorona.
Okay, so he directed that. And he directed The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
And that's a bad one.
Which is a bad one.
And this is a bad one.
Yeah.
So, and so was La Llorona.
La Llorona was... I wouldn't call it bad, but it was definitely middling.
Yeah.
He did direct HGTV Selling LA promo campaign in 2011.
Good.
I mean, we're all still a buzz about that.
And I think Gary Doberman did a few of the Annabelle ones. He did, there's so many of these in this world now. But they started with the all-star squad.
He directed a Billie Eilish video.
Hey, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah. It's no David Fincher. I'll allow it.
Yeah.
But they started with an all-star team, and they have
handed it off.
This is what happens. They started with the all-star team. They won the championship, and those all-stars got more money to go other places. Right. So they're trying to find guys to plug in. And Gary Doberman, I think, is a very accomplished and
who's
good.
He is the writer of this?
No.
Who is that?
Gary Doberman did the Annabelle movies, I think, and some other stuff.
But he's like the showrunner of this, or like, who is that? What are we talking about?
So he is the other guy that kind of like took over the Conjuring stuff after James Wan.
He has a based on characters created by credit in this movie.
Yeah. So I think he created the nun.
Okay.
Or Tessa Farmiga's character.
I just don't follow this franchise. So when you say that name, I'm like, I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
You know?
He's involved.
Okay.
He was like James Wan's understudy. Basically,
okay.
As a filmmaker.
Does he do anything else besides these Conjurings that you know?
I thought he got picked up to do something else, like that
Salem's
was,
Lot.
That's what it was.
It's completed. Okay.
And I am terrified for that because I love that.
Executive producer, writer on It Chapter 2.
Okay.
Annabelle Comes Home director.
Which is the good one. No, that's the bad one.
Director of this guy, Doberman.
Yeah.
Then he's got producer on La Llorona. Producer, writer on The Nun, the first one. Writer,
go.
It. So he's, is he Andy Muschietti guy? Or is he a Fukunawa guy?
That's a good question. Because didn't Fukunawa write his own script?
He was, I think it's the script. I think he wrote it and he kept most of it. Annabelle Creation writer.
Annabelle writer. Yeah, Annabelle Creation is the good one.
Okay, an Annabelle writer. So he started.
He's a James Wan guy.
Okay.
He's been around this Conjuring franchise forever.
Since Annabelle. Okay.
Yeah.
But they keep handing it off to people. They're starting strong, and they're handing it off, and now this guy can do it, and this guy can do it.
It's like Multiplicity when you make a copy of a copy.
Yeah, and like, I don't know about this guy. I don't know anything about him, but I mean, just based on what I've seen in this, it sounds like the Conjuring movies are really good, and now I'm watching these.
One and two.
And we're talking about all these plot holes and how, one, I think it's super boring because they're not writing them interestingly, but two, you have all these scenes that don't make sense. And I'm not, and like, we're talking about monsters and demons. We've seen it done really well. It's not like you're saying, it's just demons.
Remember
like,
in the Annabelle Comes Home when like a werewolf shows up and we're like, what the hell is going on in this movie?
I totally
do not remember.
A werewolf shows up in that movie.
I don't think I've seen
that
one.
It's like, this is Jump the Shark. Like, I don't know what we're doing.
I just think maybe there should have been some more killing. I think if
the fact that this is rated R is insane.
What is it rated R for? Boo.
Why?
Boo. It just all it does.
This is a PG-13 movie that could have made so much more money.
I can't believe it's rated R. I just cannot even.
I don't see I mean, maybe because they kill a kid. I don't know.
I mean, cut it back a little and make it 13 yeah, or like, make it R. Yeah. I don't know what
you could have made this PG-13 so easily. Like, I don't know why.
I would have cut out 15 minutes. If you asked me, I would have never been like,
I had to look it up.
This is R.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no cussing. There's no a zombie kid. Like, there's nothing here that would warrant, besides like blood splatter, but that's. I mean, that's
maybe Patrick Wilson is too sexy on the mid-credit scene. You think that could be the R?
Oh, was there a mid-credit scene?
Sort of. It's.
I bailed. I just.
It's so dumb.
It was the T. It was the dumbest 1 second thing of the Warrens being like, "Hey, let's get to it." It's just
they got a phone call at the house, but I was like,
"It was just so dumb."
When is that from? Like, are we saying that they're going to go fight Valak again, or?
No, it was just such a tease for Conjuring 4. It was just like
I don't know if there's going to be a Conjuring 4.
Well, that, you think they're setting the Warrens up to
that? I thought
not...
that was a prequel. Like a like cuz you know in The Conjuring, the end of that movie is they get a phone call.
Spoilers.
And they're And they're like, "Oh, we got to get to Amity cuz there's a family
that
needs our help in in Amity."
Yeah. Right, did they go to, is there a shark killing people? Isn't that Amity?
That's Oh.
No, Amity is where Amity. Jaws takes place. That's Amityville.
I know, that's what I just said. He said Amity.
Oh, I did say Amity.
I said, is they going to find the shark?
For Ghost Jaws. Yeah. the ghost of Bruce.
That's why I was confused.
So do they get the rights to that?
No.
Because that's the problem that this franchise has always has. Is
they can't do
Their most famous case is the Amityville Horror, but they don't own the rights to
it.
Nope.
It's one of those things where like you can hint around it,
right,
but you can't, you know, because there's a scene, I think, in the second one.
When we saw the house, I just thought like, oh, they must have gotten the rights back and they're going to make one.
Not the case.
Yeah.
No, they're in Amnesiaville.
They're in Shelbyville. That's where they are.
So this basically bounces back and forth. So Tessa knew Frenchie from the first one, their connection. Then now Frenchie is working at a
boarding school. That was like it was a monastery, that a bombed out monastery.
Okay, so they keep bouncing back and forth. And at the boarding school, you've got Frenchie, and he's really nice, and he has this like cute friendship with the daughter of one of the teachers. And then you can tell there's something kind of there between the teacher. Mm-hmm. And so it keeps bouncing back and forth with our nun, Tessa Farmiga,
working her way to the monastery
across the country and kind of trying to get there. And then now stuff's going down at that boarding school, and people are getting spooked by a nun. I can't say people are dying. I can say people are getting scared by
a
nun.
That is the problem with using when most of the people in your cast are children.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I want to see that, but it's like
there was one Friday the 13th, I think it was 6, where there's kids at the camp, and that had never happened before. And I was like, man, they're going to kill some of these kids. Like, Jason's going to tear these kids apart. But they just do it like, you know, the kids run away or whatever.
Yeah,
but
counselors.
You never. Yeah, they have plenty of counselors.
Okay, so how many adults did the nun kill at the school? Then?
So the nun killed the school? The headmaster.
The priest at the beginning. And then the headmaster.
And then the kid that's delivering supplies.
Wasn't at that school, right?
No, the priest was in...
No, that was the opening
scene. That's what I'm saying. So at that boarding school that the nun is spooking people for 2 hours, how many people did the nun kill at that school besides from the headmaster at the end of the movie?
It's actually funny that we're talking about Amityville Horror, because this is kind of the same premise where in that movie, whether it's James Brolin or Ryan Reynolds...
Is he related to
Josh Brolin? He is, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, cool.
Whether it's those two characters, like when that character goes into the house in Amityville, something attaches onto him and makes him insane, right? Like, he is the villain of those movies, because
what was that movie that we watched with Justin Long halfway through the movie?
Barbarian.
What a great movie. Like, give me something like that. Like, talk about writing and interesting characters, and then like stories changing to, because this
that
bounces back and forth
amazing.
And comes together.
Who's
right?
The real
like,
villain? Yeah, though. That's the question.
But like, God, we just think about stuff like that, and I know that's just it's another horror movie, not related between cast creatives. But when we talk about what a horror movie can be and how interesting, bringing two stories and people together, and it all coming together, and interesting twists, and good acting, and things make sense. They're talking about, you know, I just think like that is. That's what's up. That's what I want to see in a horror movie.
I think, yes, I don't disagree. I think original horror is where it's at. Do I enjoy these kind of schlocky entries into this franchise? Yes. Like, am I going to go back and watch The Nun 2 again? Probably. Maybe. But it'll be on in the background while I'm doing something else. But I do agree with you. I think that there is a lot of really good under the table horror that has come out this year. I think because Barbarian was this year.
Was it the very beginning of the year?
I don't think so.
No,
or was it last year?
I think it was last year.
Bo is Afraid is.
I love Bo is Afraid.
I think that's horror.
Barbarian
adjacent.
Was last year. Okay. I still haven't seen Bo is Afraid.
I don't know that you'll like it, honestly.
I think you're gonna think it's boring.
It is a little. But what's the word? Indulgent is the.
Well,
word
it's
would.
A it's a. It's very artsy and it's very. Yeah. What's the
I
word?
Liked his first two movies.
They're great.
I know, but yeah. it's not like that though. It's very much like. You know, he's writing a blank check. He's making this movie that's very personal to him.
Right,
but. It just kind of goes and goes and goes. Okay. I loved it, but it's.
Oh, it goes and
but
goes
it's,
and goes.
I just don't know. Based on like what I know about your right. taste in movies, I think that you're going to not like it, but I loved it. I was in the theater seeing it, and I don't know. Credits rolled, and I'm just like, this is a great experience.
So I do think that like the. We've talked, you know, there was that boom in horror. Pew, pew, man. We were doing the show, so.
It's been in the last 10 years.
It's been in the last 10 years where it was Ty West and Adam Wingard and
X
and I Pearl. Mean, I think
I are love both those movies
for both of them.
Yeah.
Really?
They're,
okay. Interesting.
Do you like them more than this?
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, the
oh yeah.
But we're,
oh,
getting, yeah, we're getting a lot of stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was titties in them.
There was and wieners.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Oh,
yeah,
they had to get with the bag.
Yeah,
Kid Cudi hanging,
throwing his dong out there.
Yeah.
That's you're right is there are original horror movies that are coming out that aren't and look you everybody knows how I feel about the Halloween franchise.
Oh.
Those last two aren't good movies.
No,
but
so disappointing.
It is so disappointing.
That first one
because that
so
first
good.
One was
so good
so good
yeah
so
good.
I gotta
so
tell you good. They kill a kid in that one too.
Yeah,
he snaps that kid's neck in the car.
But that like there's something in horror movies where it leads to that like no one's safe when they do that.
Yeah.
I'm not
that's what
saying,
I'm saying
I
want
to
yeah.
see it or they have to do it all the time, but when you do
when you kill a child.
But it just shows you that like if there's a killer out there, they're not going
that
like
that was the problem in Schindler's List when they let the girl in the red dress live. I was like, oh well now I kinda know
oh,
what's
bullshit. This yeah. is all you know what? Mel Gibson was right. Don't
that took a turn.
Don't
45
for the,
how do I
for the record
I'm waving because I need to not miss this.
For the record, I believe in the Holocaust. I think it happened.
Kevin, I'm speaking to you from the past. Yeah. Edit this at 45 to 46 minutes, please.
But were you against it?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You look at the clock. We're at 46 minutes, and we jumped to the end at 25.
Yeah.
Minutes.
What happened to the whole show?
Yeah.
But there is no.
Look,
this
man,
plot,
Joe's going through some.
This plot right? is so. Can you go to the Wikipedia, please, Tom? I just read it. We've got 15 left. We talked about the ending 20 minutes ago. I just want to know plot wise, like what it spells out.
I mean, they really. It's a detailed synopsis. It's like seven paragraphs.
Yeah, I mean, she. I did like
following
this.
The events at St. Cartha's Monastery. Sister Irene now serves in a convent in Italy. Maurice works at a boarding school in France where he can't say Frenchie because they're all named that. where he has made friends with a young Irish girl in France. Why? I don't know. Named Sophie, as well as a teacher and her mother, Kate. Irene has a vision of Maurice asking her son to save him, and the next day she is asked by the cardinal to investigate a series of deaths across Europe. While Irene travels to Tarascon, Sister Deborah, a young novice, joins her without permission, because if we all know there's one thing the Catholic Church does, it allows people to do things without permission. During the train ride, Deborah expresses her difficulty in accepting miracles. Like, why are you a nun? Which, such as the real...
I think she got put there, though.
She did.
She
did.
Yeah. She didn't want to be a nun.
Such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, while Irene explains to her the importance of faith. That's... I can keep going if you want. A terrorist guy, Irene has a vision where she follows Jacques into an alley where he ends up being choked by Valak, the demon who takes the form of a nun.
The
next morning, Deborah tells Irene that she met with Jacques and had given her father Noritz
That's the guy from the first.
I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
His rosary. At the same time, in the boarding school, Sophie is bullied by her classmates and locked up in an abandoned chapel of the school where no one is allowed to enter. The bullies tell her to look at the window with a goat on the mosaic and claim that if she looks away, the devil will appear to haunt her.
Okay. Where'd that goat thing go?
Thank you.
Where did that goat thing go?
I had to step out and take a phone call.
No, you never explain. You never see it
and
again.
And then I came back and I was like, what the hell is that? Like,
goat demon's here, goat demon gone.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
They did stab that kid.
And come and goat.
Yeah, that's right. Like I thought that one girl was gonna die. Like the head mean girl.
Yeah.
When she sticks her head into the headmistress's office and like she grabs her body, I was like, that kid's head's coming off. And then she gets stabbed through the door by the goat thing.
Yeah.
So I think Blumhouse. This isn't Blumhouse, though, is it? I don't remember seeing the logo.
No, I don't believe so.
I think that whoever owns this franchise is just going to milk it. You know,
certainly.
It got to the point where in those movies, they would introduce a demon. You're like, well, there's your spinoff.
Mm-hmm,
there's your next spinoff.
They set him up, yeah.
You know, and I don't know, without James Wan and Gary Doberman to a degree,
yeah,
I don't know if you've got the... You can't just hand these off because...
They need a Feige, a James Gunn. They need someone to...
stop doing it.
Well, but again, that's off the table because these movies, they cost 10 or 20 million. I'll look it up.
Yeah, they make
60.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, they're not going to stop making them. But if they want to keep making them, because eventually, as we know, they just start making less and less, and eventually then you stop, and then you bring back Saw
Reboot
10.
It.
You know what I mean? Like,
which I saw a trailer for that, and I didn't even realize that was getting made.
This has
Saw 10.
This has 45% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that at least tells you.
Like, that seems fair.
You know, but
13 million on opening day, so
right, which is why they're going to keep making them. But they'll eventually, the next one will make 10 because people are like, one wasn't great.
It'll be straight to Paramount.
So why not? Why not get your act together? Why not bring someone in that can tie this all together, make some really good choices to how the universe pulls in things, you know, make her a young Warren. Like, why not get someone that will tie it all together?
Okay, they did that in the first one, right? They tied it back in. They did that in Annabelle, in Annabelle Creation. The beginning of that movie is why the demon is in the doll, right? Mm-hmm. These two people break into somebody's house and they murder somebody and the blood gets on the doll and now the doll's cursed. But in Annabelle Creation, we're introduced to these two sisters who are orphans, who are living in this orphanage. The one sister becomes possessed and we find out that sister grows up to be like this Manson cult member who is the one who kills the, like, goes back. It's like they do this full circle thing where they tie those two in together, like, cool, we've closed the loop, and then we didn't.
You know what?
We opened another loop.
I think what the problem is like we talk about all this and universes and all this. I think they need to just stop trying to recreate what Marvel's done because it's really hard to recreate, right? Like that Marvel first three phases thing up until the Infinity War and Endgame. Like that,
I think everything post Endgame has been the issue.
But that's lightning in a bottle. Like they did it.
Plus,
it was
they
amazing.
Had 50 years of stories to draw on to pull the cream of the crop. You know,
how nice is it now when a movie comes out and it's a good to even decent little movie and you're just like, okay, and it's done. Like, it doesn't have to tie in. It doesn't have to set up a universe. Yeah. I know they're trying to on paper do all this for the business side of it, but they're making these really lackluster movies and they're spinning their wheels trying to get them to all connect.
And
if they don't do it perfectly, you're like, this sucks. And it, you know,
I really think the only things you can do that with, honestly, are comic book movies. I think that because those universes are already so integrated with each other, you can have a Green Lantern showing up in a Superman movie. You're like, no, that tracks.
And
like,
because you have the material to build off of,
yeah.
If there were dozens and dozens of TV shows and comics and books about the Nun, and this character is, these movies are based on this, and there's this backlog, and people have established these all tied together, but they're trying to do it on the go. They're trying to make a movie and have all these little Easter eggs planted. And I think that what they're doing is they're working too hard to try to force it in. You know, it's like the square peg in a round hole.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going in. And what you're ending up with is all these complaints because the movie doesn't work. Where if they just made a spooky movie about a nun, might be kind of fun.
A spooky movie about a nun in a bombed out monastery
With kills, well, with actual kills.
And I think the first one works so well because it is very much a period piece. And I dig like Gothic, Eastern European, you know, not Eastern
The imagery
in
that. I remember the graveyard with the mist and like very dark.
The castle, like all that stuff.
The first one had a good spooky feel to it. This one I thought just was not scary. And
I think it had moments. I do think it had moments. I think there was one or two jump scares that did get me. Yeah. But when it's your, we've talked about it before, when it's your only gimmick.
Yeah.
It gets a little old.
Because you can see it coming from a mile away every time where it's like, I mean, yeah, there's something under that sheet. Of course it's going to be a scary jump scare. Oh, there's a nun in that shadow. Of course she's going to go teeth. Like it just, right. Every single thing they did was projected, where in some of the better movies, I think of Smile. With that thing where like there's the car and then
that's a great call.
That is a jump scare or a scare where you know it's coming.
I can't believe they ruined that in the trailer.
That was crazy. But I told
you. Well, they ruined this one's, I think, best jump scare is when the hand comes and grabs the girl's face. And
That's
a good jump scare, but it's in the trailer.
It's in the trailer.
But that was
Smile's so good.
But yeah, they can make those scares a little bit unpredictable to where even if you know they're coming, you don't know exactly how. And sometimes they do the misdirect, but then they do it a different way. And, you know, and so if I'm going to be scared in the horror movies, I like it when they can be creative, not just show you.
One of the things I do like is it's the Michael Myers 78 gimmick where Laurie Strode standing in between, you know, standing in the middle of a doorway and the doorway is black and they light up Michael's face. And so it's like he appears out of the darkness and they do that here a few times. And I think that the design of the nun lends itself really well to like being, I think they do it in Hereditary too, where you're looking at it and you're like, is there something, like, I know you're supposed to think there's something there, but I think the makeup and the look of Valak in this one does kind of lend itself to that, where you're looking like in the shadows and you think you see something, but then it comes from somewhere else. Like, I think those are effective jump scares where they've got you focused here and it comes from over here.
I guess if the nun ever killed anyone. But just seriously.
She was trying to give everybody a heart attack.
You just know she's scary. Like, once it happens six times that she just scares people.
They just keep going back to it.
And then they keep doing it and you're just like, well, it's going to be scary for a sec. Like, it's going to be a jump scare and then nothing's going to happen. So again, I don't know. I think that's my complaint, is just that there's not enough going on. And again, I'm not saying I need people to just be killed left and right, but follow your rules. Like, the nun's killing people. Okay, now we're in a school full of people. The nun's spooking people.
It is. I was actually thinking of like how these all connected, right? So we know that one and two, The Conjuring 1, 2, and 3 are the Warrens. Like, that's how they're connected, right? Annabelle is the doll from the beginning of Conjuring 1.
And whatever you're into.
And you get three of those. The Curse of La Llorona almost feels like it wasn't going to be a Conjuring movie until they threw in this priest, where we were just like, well, he was in, it's the same priest from that movie. Okay, I guess. And then the nun was in Conjuring 1 and 2, and then she got her spinoffs, not with Warren as a nun, which again is just insane that they didn't do anything. And I think they were supposed to do, there's a demon in the second Conjuring called like the Crooked Man or like Crooked Legged Jack or something. I don't remember what it was.
Is that the guy that folds up and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that was supposed to get a spinoff and that never happened. It was like a nursery rhyme or something like in Edinburgh, which is where that second one takes place. And they've stopped doing that. So now they've stopped creating new demons to get spinoffs movies.
So we get
three Annabelle movies. We get three nun or two nun movies. We get a Curse of La Llorona that had nothing to do with the Conjuring stuff, except for this weird priest that shows up.
So how does this thing end? So they all get together at the boarding school, and then she's like, Frenchie, and she's like, Frenchie, you're bad.
Yeah, he's and like, then, which I liked that, where even he doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. I dug that. He's possessed. But yes, and then they have a big old fight. They use the blood of Christ, which is the wine, to poison Valak. She blows up. Frenchie seems to be okay. Mm-hmm. I guess he's got a limp in his...
Got his garden,
and he has he's reunited with Sophie and Sophie's mom. And Tessa Farmiga's like, deuces. And that's how it ends. Like, it just ends with her like looking like Frenchie walks away, and it just ends with her like standing there. And that's how,
how long it had been. Cause like, she comes out and he's growing the tomatoes that presumably she gave him the seeds for. And I'm like, how long were you hanging around after this?
Well, we see him planting. So that's true. Moment. That's a good point. Cause they are fully ripe tomatoes. And then we get the end credits, the mid credit sequence where, which, okay, that was the thing, is there's a scene when, Tessa Farmiga, no, when Sophie opens a door and it looks down a hallway and the nun is at the end of the hallway. And I, in my head, I was like, that's the Warren's house. Like, are we doing time jumps? Like, it looks like the same wallpaper that we see in the Warren's house when we go there in these movies.
They were just filming there to save money.
They were, yeah. Like, hey, man, we got the set. Can we just film here? And then I had to think about those other movies. I was like, did we see, like, this kid show up? Like, poor Sophie from 1958 shows up in the Warren's house, which, knowing Ed Warren, he would love it.
We talked about this on Patreon when Joe, Matt, and I were talking about the MCU, and I think the other thing too with all these shared universes is it's starting to feel like homework to watch a movie.
Yeah,
that I just want to watch a horror movie. I don't care enough about the mythology of the demons and stuff, and haven't seen them all. And we talk about people that come into the MCU and haven't seen 30 movies. Where do you start?
Right.
But you watch these movies, and you're like, yeah, I want to go see a horror movie. It's Friday night. Let's get scared.
Right.
And then you're
getting
like,
close to spooky season.
Who are they? Is she the one? That's the demon that the person. And
who's
that priest?
Why does that one? Why does that one look like the gal from The Conjuring? But it's not the same person.
And I'm just like, it's not that you can't make sequels, but when you do the shared universe and they all tie together, and you ask, well, is they in their hallway? And is that
right?
And it's like, I don't know, man.
I just want
to
be.
And
scared.
I don't care to know. And I don't, like, no offense, I just don't care to know.
Again, one and two is where it's at.
Yeah,
like that's the bread and butter.
Yeah.
After that, at your own risk. Annabelle Creation is the good one.
Okay, Annabelle Creation.
That's the second.
Okay. The second one, yeah, was better than the other two, but they're still the only thing out of any of these that I would actually recommend are Conjuring 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I wonder if you guys have told me that for a while.
We did Conjuring. We covered it.
No, we didn't. Because
did I actually go see that on my own?
Yeah, because something else big opened that week, and I happened to see The Conjuring as well, because I was like, guys, we should circle back around and do The Conjuring. It was really good.
I remember doing
it, and nobody wanted
that
to. And then, no, I don't think you had seen it yet for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Because I was pushing for it, and I was like, this is really good.
Okay.
But then we did do The Conjuring too.
Okay. So, as well.
Yes. All right. So anyway,
yeah.
There it is. I guess there's all that. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, and on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and subscribe to Circle of Wizards for all your video game talk.
Oh, yeah.
With Matt F. Bosler himself, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our YouTube where you can watch all of these episodes. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Vince orders the death of Dolores.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.